You know, we've been covering the incredible first prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we've covered the first part of his prayer. Actually, there's two prayers in Ephesians, but we're just on number one, if you will. But we're going to conclude Paul's prayer. Now, Paul is praying for those, it's addressed to those that are blessed. We're blessed, aren't we? Amen. Not only to the Ephesians, but that was a circular letter, as we've learned as we've been studying through this great epistle. Matter of fact, this epistle has been called the greatest piece of writing in the history of all the world. And I tell you what, it is so wonderful. It's so deep because Paul's prayer, I tell you, I don't even really know how to even teach it, to be honest with you. I depend totally upon the Lord. And I look at this prayer of Paul's, and last week we covered half of it. Now we're going to conclude it. And remember, it's given, prayed out to those that are blessed and chosen, redeemed and sealed and adopted by God. Amen? And so what's important to remember is that Paul is not asking God to give the Ephesians and us something that we do not have. He's asking God the Father. He says the Father of glory, actually. He says, oh Lord, give them by the Holy Spirit the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation into what they really have. And that is my prayer for all of us this morning. Let's read, beginning in verse 19, these few verses that we're going to cover this morning. Paul is praying, and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Pardon me. Far above all principality and power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Is that the way you pray when you pray? What an incredible prayer of Paul. Last time we were together, we learned about knowing God. Not knowing God like Theology 101, where we know all the facts about God. But that's that the word knowledge that Paul uses, I think is in verse 16 or 17, means exact, certain, sure. It means knowledge that is intimate, where you know God personally, not just a bunch of facts about God. Amen? But you know he's always with you and how much that he loves you. Now we're going to go into the deepest area of Paul's prayer. And he wants us to know, to be revealed to us who do not know, the power of God that is toward us and the power of God that is working in us. I'll tell you, this may be the most important prayer or a sermon that I teach today. No humor in the second service, I see. Let me read from the Amplified Version in verse 19. It says, in the Amplified, it says, so that you know, as Paul prays now, so that you know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power in and for you or for us who believe. Say that word, believe. That is the most important word in our text this morning, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty power. So Paul prays, not only for the church at Ephesus, it was a circular letter, remember, to us as well. He prays, listen, I want every believer, everybody that names the name of the Lord, to know the exceeding greatness of his immeasurable, surpassing, you can't measure the power of God, amen, that is working in us and for us. You know, listen, before we get into that, let's talk about God's power. First of all, God's power is supernatural power, isn't it? It doesn't come from this planet. Do you understand? He created this world that we live in. When you walk out the door in just a few hours or 3-4 hours before Luby closes this afternoon, you're going to walk out onto the earth that God created, the power of God created. Man, listen, I start thinking about that we live on a planet that God just simply created. The Bible says in John 1:3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That's what I call power. Amen? You want to hear how great his power, our Father's power is? Listen to this scripture. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, meaning the spoken word of God. Now listen carefully. So that the things which are seen, when you leave here today, just look at all the things that are seen. He says, so the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Now listen to me. God called into existence which had no existence. There was absolutely nothing. Think about that for a minute. Absolutely nothing. And what did God do? He simply spoke. And there it was. Now that is what I call power that cannot be measured. Listen, when was the last, have you ever met anyone that created something out of nothing? No person on this world, in the world, no scientist, no smart person, Donald Trump, he doesn't know either. But he'll take credit for it. No, I'm joking. I'm nothing. I just happened to use him, and I hope he doesn't hear it was me. Listen. Think about this just for a moment. No one in the world knows how to make something from nothing. Only God. Only God. That kind of power. I think, oh Lord, we live in a world that was literally just spoken into existence by our Father. It says in the Bible says in Psalm 33:9, it says, for God spoke, it was done. Now that is power. God, just imagine for a moment, here you are at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, there is nothing but darkness all over the face of the earth, the Holy Spirit is hovering, and God just simply spoke. Light be. That's what the Hebrew would say. We say let there be light, but it's light be. Light was. Amen? That is incredible, unbelievable power. The Bible says in Colossians 1:17, it says, and he, meaning Jesus, was before all things, and in him, listen carefully, in him all things consist. That word consist in the Greek means literally are held together. Everything in this universe, everything, no, whatever is out there, whatever is here, is held together by the creator and the sustainer of it all. His name is Jesus Christ. He holds it all together. Think about that. The word consist in the Greek there is in present tense, which means our present tense continuous. So Jesus literally just holds everything together right now. If he released, what in the world would happen? So you say, well, Bill, how does he do that? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus upholds everything by the word of his power. That is unbelievable. Now listen, right this minute, God is guiding the entire universe, our earth, to its final conclusion. Do you understand? That's power. Right now, Jesus is maintaining everything that there is, everything that is unknown, unseen, everything that is seen. Jesus maintains it. He holds it together. Think about that. I start thinking today, this morning, I said, man, only God can do that. That's God's power. Now listen, God created everything, and God is the only one who can destroy what he created. Man can't. Now, Bill, you just stepped way over into science. You're in a lot of trouble. Really? Well, let's take the forest fires in California, wherever they are now. Everything that's burned up, is it gone? No. The molecular structure, I mean, there may not be a home. The ashes may be disintegrating into the soil, but they're still here. Does that make sense? Everything is still here, even though you don't see it. See, you can't destroy what God has created. Do you understand? Because Jesus is holding it all together. And that means he's holding you together. See, his power is for you, and his power is for me. Have you ever just studied out the word omnipotent? It just simply means God is all-powerful. No one on earth, no one in heaven can claim that except our great God. Someone put it this way about omnipotence, defining it. He said this, "There is nothing outside God which is possible in itself." That is an incredible statement. Nothing outside of God that is possible in itself. See, God is the creator. He created everything by his incredible power. Amen? Job said this. He was talking to the Lord in Job 42:1. Job said to the Lord, he says, "Listen, oh Lord, I know that you can do everything, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." Now that's the power of God. There's not one person, no one, angels, demons, it doesn't matter who it is, governments, Republican, Democrat, okay? No one can frustrate the power of God. No one can stop the plan of God, and no one can stop the purpose of God. He is God. He's omnipotent. He's everlasting. He is our Father, and his power is for you. And I start thinking about, oh, Lord, that is unbelievable. Now look at Ephesians 19 about this power again, 1:19. Paul prays again, let me read it to you, that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis, or God's power. And who's it toward? It's toward us, and it's also working in us. But here's the key. Those who what? Say it again. Believe. That's the key to this message this morning. To those who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So listen, what is Paul praying? He's praying that you, the Ephesians, and us as well, that you may know with all of your heart that you have that revelation that the direction of all his surpassing, unbelievable, unlimited power is directed right toward you and is also working in you. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, this is unbelievable. But it's directed to those who believe. Did you notice the words that Paul uses? He uses dunamis, God's power, the same dunamis that he fills us with in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's his power, that dunamis. And then he goes and he uses another word here. He uses the word working. And that word there is energeo. We get our word energy. So God's divine energy is working with us. And this type of energy is the energy of God that overcomes, that conquers, that stops any resistance against his power. No one can stand up against God. Amen? And then it's not, what's the next one? Mighty power. That's kratos in the Greek. And that word mighty power means manifested powers, manifested strength, where you see it. You see the miracles of God. Now listen, why did Paul use nouns and verbs and all these different descriptions of God's power? Because he could not define it. And neither can you. No one can define the dimensions, the measure, the unsurpassing measure of the power of our Father. And I think, oh, Lord, you are absolutely incredible. Listen, it's not very important really to maybe explain all the power of God because we can't. But here's what God wants and what the Holy Spirit wants in Paul's prayer. He wants that power revealed in your mind and hearts so you will know to experience the power of God. We can all experience God's power, and we all have experienced God's power in our life. And the church today in this 21st century, this new decade that we're in, loved one, listen, we need to know with all of our hearts that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen? As it says in Revelation 19, he reigns. He's reigning right this minute. And God alone is the only one that can claim that. He is the Lord God omnipotent. Now listen, all of God's power directed now toward you. Have you ever gotten upset at yourself and say, why was I just defeated? You know, we must have a revelation of God's power. See, it's one thing to know it. I can write it down. God has power. God's given me this power. God's power is working toward me and in me. Okay. But do you really believe that? See, it has to get from here to your heart. Amen. The Bible says this about being defeated. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God who always leads us in one continual victory. It doesn't say it's going to be a pleasant, where you're, you know, a lot of fun. But he says, I'm leading you in victory. Wherever you are following to, I'm leading you in victory. See, the problem is our flesh. Flesh is powerful. Amen? It lies. See, what it'll do, it'll steal the power of God from us. We need today more than ever be like David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. When he cried out in Psalm 56, I don't know what it is, 14, 15, it's in the Bible. He said this, sing, let us sing of the power of God. That's what we need to do. The church needs to be singing that right now. And he says in verse 19 again, Paul is praying. Now watch this. He says that you may know that it be revealed to you, that you get it inside your heart, what is the exceeding greatness of his power, not only toward us, but working in us. Now, there's this word, to those who what? Believe. Do you believe God's word? It's very important. It's so vital today to believe God's word, loved one. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:5, Paul tells the church at Corinth, he says, listen, your faith should not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. The wisdom of man is foolishness unto God. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Can man's wisdom make you a new creation? No. Can it remove your past? No, it can't do any of those things. It can't make you righteous. It can't make you holy. That's man's wisdom. But God's power can do anything. Matter of fact, God's power has made you holy and blameless in his sight. Amen? Yes, that's the power of the living God. Christian, listen, the power, that unsurpassing, unbelievable power of God, that when it talks about in the Bible, that destroyed him who had the power over death, that is the devil. That power, think about that. The Bible says in Timothy that God abolished death. Now, meaning rendered it inoperative for the believer. Yes, we're all going to die, okay? But now we don't face death the way death or what death really is, because Jesus tasted death for every one of us. So now when we close our eyes and we in sleep to go home, to be absent from this crummy body is to be present with God, amen? Oh, forever and ever and ever. Yeah, listen, that is the power of God. The same power, loved one, that delivered us, rescued us from the powers of darkness and translated or conveyed us over in the kingdom of his dear son. The same power, the power of God that made us a brand new creation. That we were dead in trespasses and sins, but then he made us alive. Listen to me now. That is the same power that God has directed towards you and that is working in you right this minute. Oh, may that be a revelation in our hearts. Listen, God is working right now, whether you feel it or not. Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he, meaning God, who began a good work, that's energy, God's energy, who began a good work in you, will finish it or bring it to completion to the very day of Christ Jesus. Listen, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. John, the apostle of love, he writes to us in 1 John 4:4, and he says this, greater is he that is in you, the power of God, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. That same power is working in you right this minute. Hold your place. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Hold your place, though. It says there, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and here it comes, according to the what? The power that works where? That works in us. The power that works in us to be glory, it says, in the church by Jesus Christ. And look at this, for all generations. If we went over to chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says to us as them as well, it says, finally, brethren, pardon me, what does it say? Finally, brethren, be strong in the flesh. Be strong in your own flesh. No, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Man, the devil wants you to fight him in your wisdom, in the flesh, in your own strength. Oh, that's crazy. We can only walk in the power of God and win against the powers of darkness, loved one. Now, We understand now the direction of God's exceeding, abundant, unbelievable, unlimited, you cannot measure, his power toward you, the believer, and the power that's working in us. So we move now from direction to the demonstration, the greatest demonstration of his power. Look at verse 20. It says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen, it was the supernatural power of God that raised Jesus after 3 days in the tomb from the dead. Amen? It was the supernatural power of God when Jesus ascended. Remember in Acts 1:11, there he goes. They see him, they watch him ascend into the heaven and so forth. It was the same supernatural power that not only the ascension, but that seated him at the right hand of God, the place of the highest authority and the greatest honor in all of creation. That's our Lord, loved one. Now listen, the resurrection power and the ascension power that I just mentioned, that God mentioned in his word, is the exact same power that God says is toward you, but is also working in you right now. And then it says in verse 21, not just above all, but far above all principality, that means rule, far above all power, that means any authority, far above all might, that's any kind of power, far above all dominion, that means any kind of rule, lordship or whatnot, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Loved one, that's what I call power. Listen, at this very minute, Jesus our Lord is seated at the right hand of God, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen? He is seated right there, right now in heaven. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he is over everything. This world is not, you know, people say the world's falling apart. No, the world is falling right into place, loved one. Amen. God is the God of history. Man doesn't rule the world. No, God rules the world. Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, he reigns far above every title, every earthly title. It doesn't matter. He is above all, everything. And that's our Savior, loved one. The Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus in Acts 4:12, there is not given unto heaven another name by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus is over this world, and he's going to be over the world that is coming. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says that God has exalted him and given him the name, not a name, the name, which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything under the earth, they're going to confess with their tongue, and they're going to bow their knee. Amen? And they're going to say this, Jesus is Lord. Everything. Think about it. He's our Savior, and everything that is anything, they're going to say, yes, you are the Lord. And I think, oh, what kind of power is that? And then when he was seated, it says in the next verse in 22 that God put all things under Jesus' feet. That word, all things under his feet, literally means absolute subjection. Jesus rules, loved one. Now, we know if you read over into, what was it, 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 15, 25, 26, 27, and 28, right in that area. It's going to talk about all things being under his feet, but not yet. Well, that's because it won't happen, all of it, even though in actuality it's happened, but not, we haven't seen it, because death is still death. You know what I mean? Death is going to be at the millennial reign of Christ, a thousand-year reign. We're going to rule and reign with him. And then at the end of that, what are we going to see? We're going to see death cast into hell, the devil cast into the hell. You know what I'm saying. And then he's going to deliver the kingdom over to the Father. What a glorious thing. Loved one, listen. Jesus, it says, he put all things under his feet. And I love this. And gave Jesus, gave him to be head over all things to the church. That's us, loved one. The church. Jesus is the sole head of all the universe, all creation, and Jesus is the sole supreme head of the church. I love what God is doing. Listen, all things to the church. There are many headless churches in America. Did you know that? Oh, they're organized. But like Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, yeah, you have a name that you're alive, but you're not, you're dead. And there's a lot of headless Christians in America going in different directions. They're not really following the Lord, but they call themselves believers. Listen, we're the church, amen? Oh, and I start thinking about all that God is doing. When we get to chapter 2, we're going to learn that the church is a building. When we get to chapter 3, we're going to learn that the church is a family. When we get to chapter 5, we're going to learn that the church is a bride. But right here in chapter 1, we're going to learn in this next verse that the church is his body. Look at it. It says in verse 23 about the church, it says that Jesus is head over all things to the church, which is his body. He's the vine. We're the branches. We share his very life, loved one. We are in union right now with the creator, the sustainer of all things. And then it says, not only that, it says he's head of the church, which is his body. Now watch this. The fullness of him who fills all in all. I pray that you not just know this, but you know this here. We are the fullness of Christ. The word fullness there in the Greek is pleroma. Pleroma means it's full, it's overflowing. You take a glass of water and you fill it to the brim and it's just overflowing. That's who we are. Listen, we have all of his fullness. We're the church. Do we have his presence? Yes. Do we have his power? Yes. Do we have all the promises? Yes. We're the church. We're his bride. Oh, listen, I think, oh God, your very life lives in us. Ephesians 5:30 says this, for we, talking about the body, we're members of his body, members of his flesh, members of his bone. Now listen, Jesus himself is the pleroma, or the fullness of God. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I love the next verse. And it says, and you are complete in him who is ahead of all principality and power. Man. Now, Jesus is the fullness or the pleroma of God himself because he is God. Amen? He told Philip, Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Father and I are one. Now, but then the church is the pleroma of Christ himself. Let me give you the scripture. John 1:16, and of his, meaning Jesus, of Jesus' fullness, our pleroma, we have, past tense, present reality, we have all received, and it says, grace by, or grace in, for grace. In other words, grace piled upon grace to us who believe in the Lord. Now, when we, the church, possess Jesus, then we possess all himself possesses. Does that make sense? That's what this word is carrying. We are filled, the church of Jesus Christ, the global, every true believer, we are filled with the pleroma or the fullness of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, the metaphor, the head and body. We live in a body, amen? And do we have a head? Okay. Now let me ask you a question. The body is supposed to carry out the will, the plan, the emotion, the desires of the head. Is that right? I mean, my hand doesn't tell me what to do. Does your hand tell you what to do? No, your wife tells you what to do, you know? No, listen to me. No, I say, shut up. He doesn't talk back to me. You know, I say, put your hand in your pocket. All right. Where'd that come from? The head. Okay, we are the body of Christ. He is the head of us, the head of the church. What Jesus did in his earthly ministry, okay? What Jesus did in his physical body, the church now, us, we are to continue what Jesus did, and we're to do it in his spiritual body, the church. Remember what I said when we talked through the book of Acts? Whenever the Holy Spirit is given his rightful place, his proper place in the church, and in the life of the believer, you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. The church then becomes like Jesus on this earth. Because the Holy Spirit has come to glorify Jesus only. Amen? Not man, but Jesus. Listen, in the book of Acts, remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus' last word, he says, but ye shall receive power. Remember? You'll be endued with power from up on high and all that. You're going to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. What did Jesus, what was he saying? He says, I'm transferring my mission now to my body, the church. See, Jesus came to seek the lost and save them. Amen? Well, that's what we're to do now. Why? We're his body. He's the head. He controls us. We're to do whatever he bids. We're to do his will. We're not to fight against the Lord. We're to do whatever that he wants. My question now, here's the deal. I want to make an application with just two applications. Why is it so difficult today? Why is it so difficult for believers today? Why is everything so hard, it seems like? I'm not trying to be negative, loved one. I'm just being honest. I mean, when we look, if we just be honest and look at the church today, I say, we have all this power, Lord, working toward us, and we have all of it working in us. What's wrong? I want you to turn, well, no, just wait right there. I do. I want you to look back, and let's make two applications and give you two reasons. Look back at verse 19 with me. Paul continues his prayer about the revelation coming to your heart. He says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us in those who what? Believe. That's a very, very important word. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, but we have this treasure. We have it right now. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessel is our body. We have a treasure in our earthen body. Do you know what that treasure is? Listen carefully. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul says, you're not the source of your resources. The power of God is. He says, so what is the treasure? It's that unbelievable, overflowing, exceeding, you can't measure it, the power of the living God, not only toward us, but working in us. Now here's the question. Why isn't the church today, let's just use America, let's just use us. Why isn't the church manifesting its treasure? That's a great question. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I mean, is the power then is only available to those who believe, that really believe that we have that kind of power. Do you really believe, loved one? Now listen, I'm challenging you. Let me say something. Before I get up here, that all goes through me. I check out my heart too. Amen? I don't just jump up and like I'm accusing somebody. I go and investigate my own heart. I examine my own heart. Lord, do I have that? Is this right? Am I living that way? Am I living through your power? No, listen. Do you believe that the immeasurable power of God is working in you? Here's the deal. The measure of your faith will be the measure of the release of God's power in your life. Someone put it this way. There's nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us when we measure God by the limitations of our unbelief. Remember Psalm 78? What did God, Israel, God said, why do you limit the Holy One of Israel? They were limiting his love and his power. The word limit means to draw a line and say, God, you are powerful, but beyond that line, you're not powerful enough to do anything there. Why do we limit God? Man, we don't want to do that at all. Listen, remember in Matthew's gospel, I think it was chapter 9, the two blind men, oh, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon us. And they were following the Lord and so forth. And they came up to the Lord and Jesus said to them, here it comes. Do you believe? Say that word. Believe. This is to those who believe that this power is working. It says, Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord, we believe. He touched their eyes saying, listen carefully, according to your faith, let it be to you. Your faith, not Jesus' faith. Do you really believe? If so, and then it says, and their eyes were opened. Remember the woman with the issue of blood, and she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She sneaks up, remember, and Jesus said, no, he knew immediately that power had gone out of him. And there she comes, she's trembling, you know the story, falling down at Jesus, and he looked at her and said, according to your faith, be unto you. Whenever the ruler came and the daughter was dying and there in Mark's gospel, and Jesus looked at him because the woman with the issue of blood had stopped him, remember? And he took care of her, and then he's still waiting. He says, oh, my daughter, she's at home, she's dying, but you know, please come. And Jesus said, looked at him and said, do not be afraid. Only believe. Isn't that interesting? Only believe. In Mark chapter 6, whenever Jesus came to his own hometown, he says, oh, a prophet doesn't have any honor here. And he comes there and he's preaching the word of God. And listen to what happened. It says there in the town that rejected him, he says, Jesus, he said, I could do no mighty work there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. That is what is sweeping the church today. Easy believism and all the rest of it. Come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. No, they won't, but he will solve them for you. If you renew your mind to God's word, walk in the power of the Spirit, amen? Listen to me. Unbelief stopped the supernatural in Jesus' hometown. Jesus was blown away. He was marveling, man. He says, I want to reach out and touch you. But you know what? There's not enough faith there. You don't believe. And they were robbed. The Bible tells us in Romans 14:23, it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now listen. Unbelief. I'm talking about the power of God toward you, the power of God in you. Unbelief is a false god. A false god. A horrible, horrible god. You know why? Unbelief demands that you never trust Jesus. Unbelief says, don't you ever trust the certain, immutable, unchangeable, eternal word of the living God. In whom all the promises in Jesus Christ, all the promises are yes. And again, I say amen. See, unbelief is a wicked, horrible thing. That sin of unbelief, doubting God, doubting his power. No, listen, loved one. Unbelief, you know what unbelief does? Unbelief demands this. It's all over the fallen world today. Unbelief demands, it says, you know what? If you're going to give thanks, you give thanks to your education. You give thanks to your ability. You give thanks to of all that you have because you earned it. You worked your guts out for it. There's nothing wrong with working. But what unbelief says, that man, you're your provider, not God. That's the power of unbelief. Listen, the power of unbelief, that's what's wrong today. We have the power, oh God, and we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Unbelief steals not only the plan and purposes of God from your life, but unbelief will steal the power of God from your life. That's what it does. Listen, the only cure for unbelief is faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is difficult. Oh, I'm sorry. Without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible. To please God. For he that comes to him must believe that he is. Blew in from California. Are you visiting from California? No, never mind. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen to me. You know that I love you, and I do. I love the church. And what I'm about to say, I say with no judgment, but I do say with love, and I say these words with tenderness. Why is it there's so much power poured into us, but so little power coming out of us, meaning the church? I mean, I hear it all the time. You know, people just say, you know, well, I just can't pray. And I say, what? You can't pray? Well, I work, and I said, can you not set your alarm clock? You don't have enough power to set an alarm clock at least 15 minutes, you know, earlier? Am I being mean? Well, good. Do you see what I'm getting at? We don't have power to pray. We don't have power. The church that, oh, I can't follow the Lord. I'm not going to follow. We're a spirit of fear. You're afraid to tell people about Jesus. You're afraid to serve, afraid to give. Oh, no power to do that. No power to be fishers of men. No power to study the Bible. Not enough. I only have enough power, barely enough, to get to church every 6 weeks. Let me ask you a question. What's the point of having all that power if we're not going to use it? Now, let me give you the second reason. First one, that we're not walking it, is because we don't believe it. I believe it with all my heart, and I'm not going to let my mind lie to me. Amen? I'm not going to let circumstances or what I see lie to me. I believe God's word. The second one, first unbelief, the second one, turning your Bibles to Philippians. Right, you can't miss it. It's the next epistle. Philippians chapter 2. Let me turn there with you. Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at the second reason now. It says, chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you, Paul says, have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Here it comes. Work out your own salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Now listen, the word work out doesn't mean that we're to work for our salvation. The Philippians were already saved. Amen? Okay. So what that word work out means, it means to bring it to completion, all right? To work out a problem all the way through, like a math problem. And you know, you're doing 2 plus 2 equal, what is that now, you know? 4. You see, I worked it out to completion. It's also speaking about your salvation, not justification, not sanctification, or it is sanctification, meaning that process in 2 Corinthians, wherever it is in there, 3:18 or whatever, where we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit, amen, into the image of Christ from glory to glory to glory by the Holy Spirit who is working in us. The word is also used their work out of working a mine, getting everything out of it that we can, or working in a field and getting all of the harvest. So Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Look at verse 13. For it is whom? It is God. And what is God doing? He works. That word is literally, he constantly works in you. Why? To both to will and to do his good pleasure. Loved one, that is incredible. See, God really is working in us, amen? If that is the case, and we have all this power directed toward you, toward the church, and living in us as well, why is it that so few believers in our generation, this century that we're in, why is it that we, so many, fail to walk in the glorious truth of the power of God? The next verse is going to tell us. Look at it. It says, do all things without what? Complaining or murmuring. Do all things without what? Disputing. Think, now wait, now listen. Do all things is present imperative in the Greek, which means it's not a suggestion, it is not an option. Paul says this is a command. Do all things without murmuring and arguing and complaining. Not arguing with man, but arguing with God. Murmuring to God. That is the second reason that this power is delayed. Oh, I look and I say, oh God, listen. And I mean, are we the light of the world? The light of the world murmuring about how God is working in us, what God is doing. Sometimes it's not fun, is it? You know what I mean? Sometimes we go through, man, I'm talking about deep valleys and hurtful times and times of persecution, times of when we feel like we don't have a dime, but God says, you're fine, you're still eating. Go check your weight, you know? And we murmur against God. The light of the world, murmuring against God. The salt of the earth, arguing. Arguing with God. I don't like this plan, God. You're working this, whatever you're doing, I don't like it. God's, oh, that's horrible. The ambassadors of Christ, murmuring. Man, I start thinking about that. About those that are unhappy. Those that are, that God says, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. You have all that God is ever going to give you. You're not only blessed, but you're chosen in Him. You're not only chosen in Him, you're redeemed by His blood. You're not only redeemed by His blood, you are forgiven, and you're adopted, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the very end. Amen? Co-heirs with Christ, murmuring to God and complaining to God. I don't like what's going on. God, where are you? And all the rest of the lies our mind tells us. The body of Christ today filled with the fullness, the pleroma of God, of Jesus Himself, possessing everything that He possesses. And we murmur and say, I don't like what God's doing. God never does anything wrong to us. Never. Not only that, everything that God does is perfect. He loves us. Amen? You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Jesus loves us. He died for us. Everything that God disciplines us or whatever it is, don't murmur. It stops your progress. It stops. Do you understand? That's what murmuring does. It stops the power. Listen, murmuring is a bad thing. The children of Israel, you know what they did? Remember there, the psalmist has written? It says in Psalm 106:24, it says, the children of Israel, they despised the pleasant land, meaning the plan that God had for them, the good things that God had, the land of Canaan, the land of promise. They despised it. They didn't want anything to do with it. They wanted to go back to the world. Now listen to what they did. They did not believe God's word. You see how important that word believe is? Those who believe. They did not believe God's word, and listen to what they did, but they complained, they murmured, they argued in their tents and did not heed the voice of God. Everything that God does is perfect. Listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. I think about all of this, and you know, God's working, but here we are, we're sheep, we have a shepherd, and we have to follow Him. We need to follow Him. Now, with all that being said, let me close out. I know it's time you guys want to go to Luby, so just let me close. This brings the first prayer of Paul to an end. Now, I know that I'm sure that maybe in heaven right now, the angels of God and God Himself or my Lord may say, Bill, you really stained that, didn't you? You know, I mean, soiled that great prayer. You know, I had to close my ears. I don't know. But I want you to listen to me now. This morning, and as a matter of fact, I just finished this. I struggled with how to teach it. Moved it, threw it, burned it, whatever. But as I was leaving this morning, I wrote down a thought. And the thought was about me. And I was thinking about how He saved me. And I was thinking about me before He saved me. And I was thinking about the pride that I had. Everything I touched would turn to gold. I was thinking that I always made it, and I wanted to make it. I never wanted to be poor again. I never wanted to be hungry again. And I looked at everything that my accomplishments in my life, I did it. And there was no one that could break that kind of pride in me, because that pride was my strength. Do you understand? Before I was born again. And this morning as I was leaving, I wrote this down. It takes the exceeding, immeasurable, great power to bring down the pride of man. Only God's power can break a man or a woman's pride. Only God's power can take that and erase it from your whole life. Only God can do that. Only God can take your sins and put them as far as the east is from the west and never remember them again. Only God can make you a new creation, the power of God, where old things pass away and behold, all things become new. Man, that's what God can do. But the pride, I don't need Jesus. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. No, you're not. You need Jesus, and you need him right now. As we bow our heads and our eyes are closed in every Christian praying, I love everyone that's here, and God loves everyone that's here. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, man, you have an opportunity right now. Don't let your pride steal from you and take from you. Give it to God. Well, Bill, how do I ask Christ to be my Lord? You don't have to come to this altar, but you do have to do something. You have to just lift your hand. That's all you need is lift your hand and I'm going to pray for you. Just lift it high and then put it right. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Just lift it high right now. Put it right back down to where I can see it. Come on. Anyone else? Quickly. Oh, please. Don't hesitate. If you feel the presence of God, God bless you. That's right. You feel the presence of God in your heart right now. Listen. Come to him. Last call. If that's you, put it high and put it right back. Those that lifted your hands, listen carefully now. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, I want you to help me out. Say, Father, today I put my pride away. It's sin. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want all things to become new. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, Father, you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Jesus and believe in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Jesus, be my Lord. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Lord, for all that you're doing and how you're doing it, and for those that just came into your kingdom and experienced the power of the new birth. Oh God, thank you for the privilege of all that we do here. We give you the highest praise, the highest honors, and the highest love. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good. Amen. Let's thank the Lord this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Listen carefully. You who lifted your hands and you prayed that prayer, here's what you need to do. We're going to close with a song. And then when the song is over, there'll be people down front. And they have a booklet entitled, Welcome to the Family of God. Please do not leave here. You have to have this book. It's a very short book and it's yours free. You need to take it home and you need to read it today. If you prayed that prayer, you're listening live right now, and you prayed that prayer, you just simply email me at info@loveneverfails.com and give me your address, and that booklet will be mailed out to you first thing in the morning.